सरस्वती देवे निपचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवारी भास्कर्यारी सतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नितानंद सियाद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरी गौ भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे हरे
With a heart full of joy, I welcome you for the first day of this Govardhan Katha given by your insignificant servant. I request you to look around for a moment and just perceive the Divine Presence next to us. And Giriraj is there, ready to shower His inconceivable blessings upon us. We are here in the sacred land of Vrindavan, where every grain of dust possesses more Krishna consciousness than we have. And we are surrounded by the smells, by the sounds, and by the nice cooling breezes even of our December Katha. So we have the very best circumstances for us to go deep into this, and I pay my most humble respects to all of you who must be great souls, having been invited by Giriraj personally to come from far and wide, different places across the globe, to make spiritual advancement and to make a transformation of the heart. Now, for this transformation of the heart, we have chosen a process, and I feel it's good if we spend maybe 5 minutes or so connecting our consciousness with the process which we have chosen, that is the process of hearing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma expresses how difficult it is to know Krishna and what is really the best sadhana in order to know Him or to be close to Him. I think it is important to connect with the practice before we do it. There is a verse in the third canto, 9th chapter, text 11, which was often quoted by Srila Prabhupada and his own spiritual master. This verse says how Krishna can be seen by devotees. Listen to it, it's quite amazing. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. So, by the process of hearing, two things happen. We see Krishna. That obviously doesn't refer to the eyes made of earth and water and a little fire, according to Ayurveda. No, we see Krishna through the process of hearing through our internal eyes. The eyes which are awakened during dreams, when we see mountains and rivers and landscapes are internal eyes, but we speak here of even more internal eyes, the spiritual eyes. And by this hearing or seeing through these, through hearing, awakening our eyes, the result is that our hearts become cleansed. You are so merciful, Krishna, to your devotees, that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So, if we participate in a Krishna Katha, this is the point, we awaken something which was sleeping before, that is our spiritual eyes. We can see Krishna in the heart, and the heart gets cleansed of material contaminations like avidya, ignorance, and also raga and dvesha, you know, attachments and so on. And Krishna then comes into the clean heart of the devotees, which is cleansed by this process of hearing, and sits down on the throne. I think this is a very important verse in order to start our effort of hearing. I remember my exalted godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, would always tell his audience, you are sitting here to do the service of hearing. It's a service. It's a service of sweeping the heart to clean for Krishna. It's something active. Hearing is not a passive thing. It is something active. And I will activate you in a few minutes by telling you from Jiva Goswami exactly how you should actively listen to what you hear. If we listen passively, the danger is that due to the different climate and the different surroundings, we might, and the undigested food in our stomachs, our circulation slows down and we fall asleep. But if we learn to actively hear, the juices will flow, as they say in American colloquial language. You know, you will be alive. Why exactly is hearing so powerful that it can bring God in the heart? How is it, we can ask in a skeptical way even, that words which are spoken and which you hear can carry God? Isn't, what we speak material, isn't it produced by material vocal cords, which are affected by kaph and other things? In other words, material, they're material things. So how can God manifest? This question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadev Goswami towards the end. You know, he had all of a sudden this doubt coming up in his mind that I'm going to die very soon, you know, at the end of this katha, and we are already four-fifths through, you know, we are almost at the end, and will it really work, you know? All of a sudden, he had this thing, isn't this just a, you know, storytelling and story listening as it is done since timeless times, you know, in the storytelling traditions, is it? And Sukadev Goswami acknowledged that this was a good question and said, I will give you an answer which from another assembly where this question was discussed and put before the Kumaras. And the answer is, it's a quite complex thing. It's in the 87th chapter, and it's so philosophical that at least for a man with poor intelligence like me, my head always starts to shake from the effort of trying to understand. What it really says is that by Krishna's exceptional grace, he has empowered the words of the Shastra with this potency that they can not only awaken spiritual consciousness, but that they can manifest God in the heart. It's by Krishna's grace. He has put a certain energy in it. You could almost give an example. This is ordinary metal, huh? It doesn't carry electricity, but if you would put a high voltage here and someone else would now grab this microphone stand, it would stop to be ordinary iron, but it would carry electricity. So in the same way, the words of the Shastras have been empowered to carry this transcendental potency in them. If you are a real philosopher and you like to understand things philosophically, I really invite you to crack that heavy nut of the 10th canto, 87th chapter. Read it and you will understand, my God, Krishna consciousness is the most brilliant philosophy which is there on the planet Earth. Now, the last question is, how should we hear? We discussed the process of hearing as a powerful sadhana to cleanse the heart and manifest Krishna in the heart. We described from where this sadhana gets its power, from Krishna directly, who has infused these words of the Shastras, which we are hearing with this power. Now, we only need to know what should we do to receive this power. In my life, I find that this question has become the only question which I still have. What can I, with my limited abilities, do to, in order to make the Lord appear in my heart? How? The how is an important question. We will deal with this. What can we do to hear and with answers which make the Shravana Sadhana, the sadhana of hearing, which is what we do here, most successful. We will hear many answers as the sessions go on, because I intend to introduce each session with a little passage where we hear what are we doing, what are the glories of this process, and how should we do this process, so that you are all wide awake and that you get the maximum benefit in your time sitting here in the substantial shade of our new pandal. Yes, we had another pandal the years before, but this is a wow pandal. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives a verse that by hearing you get affinity, you like Krishna. But it says you must listen in a certain way. It's with rapt attention, and I will read this from Srila Prabhupada. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person. And then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. Now you might say, oh, this is a very encouraging statement, rapt attention. I'm in already five pieces. I'm so tired I could scream. Now, how will I hear with rapt attention? Well, rapt attention is the result of a pure mind. No one can give rapt attention, Prabhupada continues, who is not pure in mind. Now, how will you get pure in mind? Listen, no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. You must eat purely. You must sleep purely. You must, how do I sleep purely? Good is you do a prayer before you fall asleep, where you dedicate the day's activities to Krishna. And as you go into the sleep with this prayer, Kayena vacha manasendriyevai, whatever I have done with my mind, with my words, with my body, that I offer Narayaneti samapayetvam to you, O my Lord. Huh? Then this the power of this prayer which you say is the good night bonbon for the Hare Krishnas, this prayer, you know, that carries into your sleep and you sleep very purely. You have that program in your mind. Whatever I do with my mind, I offer it to you. So the mind knows, okay, better dream of good things, which are offerable. Sometimes it doesn't work. But somehow or other, Prabhupada says, whatever is the case, forget. I mean, not forget, but let us rest these things. Somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So I must tell you, my dear devotees, I don't consider myself a very right person. I am what I am, an aging person who tries his best, but who was born under dark stars, you know. So, trying. But what I can say with great assurance, you can say them, if you're not the right person, move aside and let Burijan continue his class. That would maybe be a good suggestion. But what I can assure you that I have made the greatest effort, and I will make the greatest effort to not speak today with the tongue of Satchinandan Swami. I will make the greatest possible effort to speak with the tongue of Shukadev Goswami, with the tongue of Srila Prabhupada, and with the tongue of His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, to whom I owe a debt of gratitude in this katha, and from my various good examples in Krishna consciousness, so that what you get will really be a transformative experience in your own Krishna consciousness. So having said this, I request you to lift your hands in the air and loudly call out, Gaur Premanandi Hari Go. Yeah, there was half a life. We need a little bit more life here. I need your blessings. Only if you bless me now. How do I bless someone? It's very easy. You go in your heart and you find whatever good wishes you can find. Leave the bad wishes aside. Find the good wishes and loudly bring your arms up and again say, Go Premanandi! Hari Hari Bo! I feel already electrified. Oh, God. My dear devotees, yesterday evening, we heard a little bit how Krishna had directed the sacrifice which was meant to be offered to Indra, to Giriraj Govardhan. And do you still remember what was the first instruction Krishna gave, how that sacrifice should commence, how it should start? Yes, you know everything. He had said that the Brahmanas, the truthful Brahmanas who live purely, should chant auspicious mantras. They are called Swasti Vachanam. At the beginning of every undertaking, where obstacles can be expected, and you know, every undertaking in this world is covered by some fault or some problem, you can count with obstacles, you must do these auspicious prayers. Therefore, we will start also this katha. We actually have done prayers to the spiritual master, but we will chant one mantra to Giriraj all together. Namaste Girirajaya, Shri Govardhana Namine, Ashesha Klesha Nashaya, Paramananda Daine. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So after this recital of prayers, Krishna stepped forward. He had his wonderful crown, the peacock feather ornament. He had his turban, and his locks were like a swarming herd of bees. And as he spoke, all the Brajbasis heard very attentively what he had to say to them, how they should do this sacrifice. He said in a very sweet voice, "Now use all the paraphernalia to make a grand sacrifice for Govardhan, and then offer him all the food. Afterwards, I want you to feed these brahmanas and all these cows." There were many cows there. "And then take the cows and the bulls and the calves in front, and then we will circumambulate Giriraj. We will make a Govardhan parikrama." So all the Brijbasis shouted, "Jeho, Jeho!" He also said something which was especially meant for the people who were a little close to him. He said, looking at the woman, "Dress and decorate yourself handsomely." It was a festival. Some good dress should be worn. Then he said to the others, "Smear your body with cooling sandalwood pulp." That is actually something which we should do for the, in this katha. Cooling sandalwood pulp. We should. That's a good idea. I will. Can you make a note? We want to decorate all of your heads with cooling sandalwood pulp. That's Vedic. And then he said, "Let's first make circumambulate the sacrificial fires. Then we go out into the into Braj and do this parikrama." Now, this is how it started, the parikrama of Giriraj. Krishna himself instituted the worship of his dear devotee. Some ladies who could not walk so good were given a place in ox carts, which were drawn by powerful Braj bulls. Yes, not bulls, oxen. Oxen, bulls are not are too temperamental to draw ox carts. Brijbasis, Krishna said to them, "Joyfully sing the glories of Giriraj." And they were singing. Everyone was dressed festively with sandalwood pulp all over. And Krishna and Balaram would walk just behind the cows and the calves, because after all, they were already for 2.5 months experience cowherd men. You know, when Krishna turned 7, he was given the care of the cows and the calves. And now he is exactly 7 years and 2.5 months old. So he walks behind his cows. He knows, he shows that he knows what to do. And now whenever Krishna and Balaram desired to look around and see the beautiful gopis, they would switch the tails of the calves, and the calves would start to gallop and jump, you know, like these dancing calves you must have seen, and run back, and Krishna and Balaram would turn around, and they would say many things through their eyes to the gopis and the gopas and everyone. They addressed really everyone like this. So this was a very joyous celebration with joyfully jumping cows, and it was really wonderful. When you go now around Giriraj, especially try to go on Ekadasi days, then you will see the Brijbasis all dressed far out, you know, with turbans and with different colors, bright colors. Some would say kitschy colors, but that's not an appropriate term because everything here is extraordinary. So it's extraordinary colors, and you would see them singing songs. There's a song which is sung here: Giri Raja Dadan Prabhu Tum Hari Sharana. Giri Raja Dadan Prabhu Tum Hari Sharana. I take shelter under that Giriraj. They would sing, but they would sing joyful songs. From this we get a lesson, my dear devotees. Whatever you do, whatever work you do, sing. If you do work and you don't sing, and you do it quietly, you are like a ghost who has a mountain of worries on your head. Sing as you do. I have on my telephone in the Gaura Bhavan a sign. Always chant the holy name while you do your other work, because everything else will be taken away from you at the time of death. Only the what you have sung for Krishna, that will remain for you. That will be counted. Ajamil chanted one name, Narayan, and already the result was so big. Imagine how grateful Krishna feels to someone who has chanted many names, Hare Krishna and Rama. Yes, we can say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. Especially when doing Govardhan Parikram, sing. Sing. They're very important. And don't, because you need to cover the Sita Painball bomb song. Who knows the Sita Painball? Sita Painball? Sita Painball? It's a loudspeaker which is in 10 places they have it. And they sell this good for nothing pain bomb, you know, which is supposed to relieve your aching feet from the pain. Doesn't work. It's an Indian thing to sell things. So the no Sita Painball, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Sital pain bomb, it's called. You know that Hare Krishna. Try to learn this from the Brijbasis. Whatever work you do, whenever you do your other work in this world, chant. Even when you are in your office, chant. When the boss is out, jump on the table, dance and chant. That may be a little bit too impractical, you know. But do keep keep the good spiritual vibration going. So this is how the Brijbasis did their parikrama. Now, Krishna had told the Brijbasis that Giriraj is a better worshipable devata than Indra. Because he had argued, you have done so much sacrifice for Indra, but he has remained hidden. No one saw him accepting these things. So he wanted now to prove that Giriraj is better. He accepts things. He reciprocates. He is there for those who give him. And so to increase the faith of the Brijvasis, Krishna assumed another huge personal form, which was like a second mountain standing on top of Giriraj. He became the personification of Giriraj in a visible form. And his body looked like a mountain. He had four arms, his eyes were blinking, his hands were moving, his mouth was shutting and opening, so on. And joyfully, not threateningly, he didn't look like a King Kong or, you know, he looked like a really powerful devata. He took these arms and took up the pots and started to eat from the pots. He took up his hands and just grabbed these mountains of rice and ate them. And from time to time, he made a sound of deep satisfaction, which goes something like this. That everything, sound, smile, everything was available from Giriraj. Very personal eating situation. And in this way, Krishna taught the Brijbasis that, look, this form, my form, they look exactly the same. They are the same. And he declared to them in Sanskrit, Shailosmi. Shailosmi means, I am that rock. In his sweet voice he said, I am the presiding master of this region. Because I'm pleased with your devotion, I have now appeared before you. Please ask for anything which you desire. You know, this was something. The Brijbasis had worshipped for a long time, and now all of a sudden, Krishna directed them to another object of worship, and immediately he appeared and accepted the offering. Just imagine what would happen to you. Who of you has deities? But that's a good number of you. Imagine you would see one day as you bring your apple chutney to your deities, all of a sudden the deities sit down. They take their hand and they just happily eat, you know, in big quantities. You would say, wow, finally I have good information for the internet. You know, finally you have something to tell about, something extraordinary, something which makes the day bright and which is spiritual and which is different from all these boring things. You know, you would really blossom up in your devotion. So when the Brijbasis saw this, you can't imagine how joyful they became. Krishna had proven to them, had increased their faith in his words by practical action. And what we see and what we experience, according to Sanatana Goswami, is the greatest proof in a person's life that this is actual and factual and real. My dear devotees, there was one old woman. She lived in Nandagram. And because there was no auto rickshaw at that time, she just heard somehow by different messages whom Krishna had sent, because he wanted everyone in Braj to participate, that there would be this Govardhan Puja and everyone should cook. And this old lady thought, because I'm old, I can't come there in time, so let me just cook and have faith that somehow it gets accepted. So as she was cooking and finishing her cooking, all of a sudden she saw a delightful arm and hand coming through her door, going without any further ado to her preparations and just taking them and disappearing. We hear from Chaitanya Bhagavat that once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took rest after a good meal in some devotee's house with all his associates, and he was resting with his arm, and one devotee stayed up. His name was, as far as I remember, Vijay. And Vijay saw how the arm, the golden arm of Lord Chaitanya, turned into a sapphire-like blue and was all of a sudden dressed or ornamented with bangles and with bracelets and all these decorations which Krishna has, and you know, these spider-like drawings. They look like, you know, a center is here and then it extends from the center. And he fainted. So imagine what that lady, this cowherd lady, old grandma, must have felt when the personal arm of the Lord came just through her door. This was not, I want to again say, this was highly bliss-infusing, you know. And she was just, "Ah, Krishna," like this. Some preparations were also offered by yogis who performed yoga mishra bhakti here in Braj in their meditation. And also they saw the Lord appearing and accepting their mental bananas or whatever they offered to Krishna. So, with thousands and millions of hands and arms, some short, some long, the Lord accepted all the offerings from all directions. And thus, he filled everyone with the greatest of joy. And as this Lord on the hill, which is exactly like Krishna, was there, Krishna stood before the hill with flower decorations, such as first-class garlands, earrings, which, you know, as he was moving his head, you know, he always moves his eyes, he's a moving Lord. So everything dances on him. the earrings shook and put this nice walking light on his... Am I clear? Walking light, can you understand? Moving light on his cheeks. He had ankle belts, and when he would move, there was a sound. And he had a sash around which held his yellow dhoti. And Krishna was just smiling and smiling and smiling. Everything worked according to plan, including the fact that Krishna spotted spies amongst his own people. Spies which had been sent by an increasingly disturbed Indra. But we will hear about the secret agents of the Devaloka in a moment. Then, with his wonderful voice, He requested everyone to offer his obeisances to Giriraj. He said that this Giriraj can assume any form he desires. If he wants, he can also adopt the forms of snakes and attack all those who disrespect him. I would guide you now in a session of offering obeisances and giving you respect right at the beginning of this katha to Giriraj according to the instructions of Krishna. I have personally heard that those who disrespected Giriraj in some ways had all of a sudden seen black snakes coming and attacking them. What Krishna wanted, and that we hear, he wanted to make sure that everyone understood, I do not want you to worship a minor devata. I want that all your worship goes to me. And he instructed everyone directly and indirectly by saying, what is the result of not doing this? Disrespect. So, you please all turn around now and look at Giriraj. I will chant from Sanatan Goswami, obeisances to Giriraj, and then I will request you to offer your obeisances like Krishna told the Brijbasis.
Jaya Vasava Yagya Piti Prishta Mahataka Shrutata Tokta Yagyata Kama Vadavataraka Nana Panjaya Vadoga Shakya Yagha Nivaraka Govana Trigo Yagya Pravataka Namostute Prokta Trigo Makavide Yakya Datto Pahara Bhuk Gopa Vishvasanatadri Chalastulan Yarupadrik. O crown jewel of Govardhan, who gave glory to Govardhan, you had the cowherds dress themselves up, prepare offerings of food, and circumambulate the hill. Obeisances to you. Now please bow down and pay your obeisances to Giriraj in your own words. In your own words.
Krishna does not always answer the prayers immediately, but Giriraj does. It's known here in Vrindavan when little schoolboys are afraid of failing at their examinations, they will do a dutiful Govardhan Parikrama and request Giriraj to help them pass. Or little girls who are becoming inquisitive when in the months after Kartik, where all these marriages go on, and they have this question: Will I get a good husband and good electric light and good music? These little girls go usually on Govardhan Parikrama by Dandavat Parikrama. You can see unmarried women, and they get husbands like this. Giriraj reciprocates immediately, because he is just the best of Krishna's servants and likes to support the other servants. He is like this, very active, very, very good, and very good-hearted. So as the Brajbasis looked at Giriraj, they felt so much joy in their hearts
because Giriraj was there in this form, dressed in yellow silk garments. He had many malas of pearls around him, very opulent in other words, and so much jewelry. And on his head, there must have been a big crown, he had a big crown with lots of peacock feathers sticking out, but they were trimmed nicely so that it looked like a rainbow. Everyone just stared at this beautiful Giriraj, everyone without exception. Even Syam Sunda spoke on this Giriraj, stared at this Giriraj. Then all of a sudden the Brijbasis started to sing. And they all somehow chimed into the same song. They sang, "Life after life, this form will give us bliss. He has become manifest and eats all of our food. Let us not surrender to any other devata. You are our devata now." Krishna was smiling because this is what he had wanted in the first place. He felt that my devotees are worshipping a demigod. This is not good. This is not good, especially not in Braj. It's Ananya Bhakti. It should all go to me, but he didn't want to say it like this. So he arranged this pastime where he said, "Give it to Giriraj," and he showed how he is Giriraj. Now, all of a sudden, Giriraj started to open his mouth and began to speak. "O Nanda." Nanda was it. "O Nanda, whatever is in your heart, please ask me for a boon. I am so pleased with your puja and the puja of your people. No one has ever worshipped me like you." You know, this is a fact. It was a first time. So Nanda Maharaj became extremely shy. For a moment he saw Krishna, the two Krishnas. So he was very shy and he said, "What can I say? You are the Antayami, you are the indwelling super soul. You know already everything which is in my heart. And you have given me everything. I'm here in Braj. You have given me the 9 perfections. Please know that I have worshipped you only because of these two boys, Kanai and Balai." Nanda Maharaj considered Balaram also like his son. Yashoda also didn't make much of a difference. "You know, I have worshipped you for these two boys. Please make that Krishna Balaram are always happy. That's my only desire." Just see the love of Nanda Maharaj. Just see the love which is here in Braj. It was clear after what Giriraj had just done that he was almighty and there was nothing he could not do. It was very clear. The Brijbasis, they don't ask for themselves. They just say, "Let Krishna Balaram always be happy." Because their whole attention, their whole mati is inner orientation, is directed to the service of Krishna Balaram. Giriraj was very happy and he spoke very loud. After all, he's a mountain, he can really speak loud. "Tathastu, but asked for one more favor." Nanda Maharaj thought about something, but he couldn't think of anything. Everything which was going on day and night in his mind was, "Let Krishna Balaram be happy. Let
them be enjoy. Let them be satisfied with everything. So he was speechless. And then Giriraj said something which reveals his mind. He said, okay, then I will give you a blessing with my own intelligence, which I have said. May your cows always be protected. This is the land of the cows, of Gomata, of the calves. These cows are very dear to Krishna. He has become a cow herder. God could have taken many other occupations which are sattvic, you know, but he became a cow herder because he loves his cows. And we will hear more about this love. And then Giriraj said smilingly, "You're Krishna." And he pointed to Krishna. Krishna was there, you know, with his dress, his, you know, enjoying the thing so much. "Your Krishna knows me very well. I love him dearly. Very soon, Indra will attack. But do not fear. Krishna will lift me on his little finger and protect you all. Please do not fear whatever will happen." And as he said like this, some bold devatas showered flowers, and there was a flower rain, and Nanda Maharaj looked at Giriraj. The Brajbasis, however, they are a little energetic. You know, they could now hardly contain themselves. They started to talk amongst themselves. "Look, he's talking to us. He's talking. With his own mouth he's talking. How intelligent our Shyam is. He directed us to such a deity." Then Giriraj took his mighty hand, gave prasadam to Krishna, and Krishna started to distribute it to all the Brajvasis. And in this way, they all, their voices choked, their hairs. I want to show it to you, like Bhuri Jamprabhu always shows. Their hairs stood on end, and they loudly shouted, "Giriraj Maharaja ki!" It was much, much louder, actually. "Giriraj Maharaja ki!" And then they all sang a song. A song which we will sing together.
Takena arachi shakra padam abayam yena giri puje jam vihitakena arachi shakram padam avayayena giri puje jam vihitakena utanikasa nihatayena giri puje jam vihitakena Utanikasa Nihatayena.
Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill? It's the same person who made us free from fear of Indra. Then another group started to sing, "Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill?" And another group said, the same person who killed the Putanavich. So maybe we can have the Madhajis doing the Giri Pujejam Vihita Kena line and the men, the second line. Is it, yes? You understand? Madhajis, please sing with me.
Giri Pujejam Vihita Kena men Trinavata Tanuda Talanam Ena Vedam Vihita Kena Yamala Junatarum Utakalena.
Is there is a difficulty with seeing the song, or why don't you sing louder? Some shyness or ecstasy?
Okay.
Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill, asked one side. The same person who crushed the Trinavata whirlwind. Yeah, but who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill? Some more information is required.
Ah, the same person who uprooted the Yamala Arjuna trees.
Please.
O Giri Pujejam Vihita Kena Vatsa Bakasura Ananam Vena Ejam Vihita Kena Yomagasura Maranam. Giri Pujejam Vihita Kena.
Yeah, but tell me more. Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill?
Ah, the same person who killed Vatsasura and Bakasura.
More information. Who ordered the worship of Govardhan Hill?
The same person who brought death to Vyomasura and Agasuna.
Yeah, but who ordered the worship of the Govardhan Hill?
The same person who defeated the Kaliya serpent.
The same person who pacified Denukasura and Pralambasura. Then they still want to know more about Krishna.
Giri Pujejam Vihita Kena Dava Yudhma Paripitam Vena Vedam Vihita Kena Prasyakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Giriraj Maharaj ki!
Hare Krishna. We will practice this a little bit more and then it will be more. There's another very lively, huh? So, at this time, I would like to raise a question which does come up persistently. How can Giriraj be Krishna and at the same time be the servant of Krishna? Have you ever thought like this? No? How at the same time two things are possible? Either you are God or you are the servant of God, no? Well, I must tell you something about our logic. It's a dualistic logic which cannot grasp spiritual content very good. Even in this world, the either this or either that logic will not always serve you to deal with a complex situation. Those who have learned to think in multidimensional thinking structures know that one thing is true in one structure, in one certain condition, but there the same thing may be false in another. So therefore, to make a solution which is all comprehensive is not possible if you only have a dualistically working mind. It's not possible even in this world. For instance, this is a problem when we are an international movement and we deal with very complex individuums where we have at one side their tremendous sincerity and at the other side their weaknesses. If we only deal now with the weakness and the problem which the weakness brought about, we might cut the very important part of the reality that is the sincerity and not even understand their motives which has come from that direction. So even a multifaceted logic is something we can practice even here. But when it comes to spiritual things which are totally beyond, this either or logic does not serve us, you know. But still, to make us understand, some examples can be given. Advaita Acharya, for instance, is Sakshat Vishnu, directly Vishnu. This is now not extremely logic. and mixed with Shiva. No need to explain it very deeply. And Chinese translators, this may not be so important, this one bit of information. But he always considered, he's God in other words, but he always considered himself a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu treated him like his respectable elder, he was desperate. He declared, dancing through Navadvip, I'm the servant, I'm the servant. Lord Nityananda is also Ishvara. He's no one than Balaram. But he also always considered himself a menial servant. Lakshman and Bharat, direct expansions. They only think of the service. God can, in other words, become a servant. And this is Giriraj, God who has become a servant. Who has become the best of the servants, the devotees, who is here like a Sparshamani to fulfill all the desires of his devotees who come and worship him according to these directions of the Lord. This is Krishna's point, you know, this instruction. Have you ever heard that the Sarshat Hari Tvena Samasta Sastri? You sing this every morning, that this person is directly the Lord, the servant of Krishna. We consider him like the Lord. This Krishna wants to show that his devotees, he lifts up to a status where they are God. Like where they are worshipped, where they receive the first worship. It's a very important teachings for us Gaudiyas in this Leela. Now I will quickly come to the end and to the dramatic to the drama. The Brajbasis had attended the festival. They had completed a whole circumambulation of Giriraj, and according to the information which we had, that was a long, 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 long circumambulation, because at that time Giriraj was much higher and much broader, so that was a really substantial Govardhan Parikrama. Maybe, I don't want to speculate, so therefore maybe it was double as long as now, you know. It was really substantially longer, and time came to say goodbye, to go to the houses, to take care of the cows and the different activities there, which they did in the service of Krishna, really. But they really couldn't separate themselves very easily from Giriraj. But there was Krishna, and directly amongst them. So they all came, everyone came around Krishna and looked at Krishna. And Krishna said, Chaliye, let's go. They were joyfully pushing each other to come forward to Krishna. Then they started to move. All the Brijbasis started to move. They went, this is important for the transcendental landscape, they went to the Yamuna, which was just flowing at the foot of Giriraj, washing his foot. They walked there, they all joyfully took their bath in the Yamuna, then they went and they talked on the way home to their villages. Oh, Krishna, Krishna gave us such a merciful devata. We only did puja to him once. They kept on repeating this. And he immediately showed himself. This is unprecedented. And how did he look? He looked just like our Krishna, dressed in yellow. And he laughed so much and smiled, just like Krishna. Krishna put this into their intelligence. It's very important. And this Indra, this good for nothing Indra, he did so many pujas, he never came. Now there were some spies amongst them, and they took careful note of all the ninda or disrespect towards Indra. They were Indra's men. What a disappointment this Indra is. What a disappointment this Indra is, they wrote down. The Brijbasis were so happy that they eventually lifted Krishna on their shoulders and carried him. In the Bhagavatam, it is said that Krishna walked with them to all their villages. So it's well possible that the one Krishna divided himself in as many forms as there were villages, and everyone went with Krishna to their own village and so on. I just come to this. Now, Indra, it was the end of the day, was getting a little
curious. He was accustomed that on this day, the wonderful milk sweets for which Braj is famous would be offered to him. And he was attached. He missed them. You know, when you get something good, for a regular amount of time, let me tell you what is the best way to get the attention of someone. Cook for him the best preparation for 1 month, and then the next day, after 1 month, don't offer that present preparation. He will, something is missing, and he will call you, say, every time this date apple gold chutney came, and you now know. So Indra was really like this, slightly irritated. Now his spies, who had gone there, had heard all this ninda. Ninda is disrespect and disregard of the Braj Basis, which Krishna had carefully made them to say. When they came back to Indraloka, Indra sat on a very high throne in Amaravati. He was surrounded by the most beautiful girls in creation. He asked, from where are you coming? He said, from Braj. Oh, good, 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 good. I just wondered, what are the news from Braj? Wasn't it my puja day today? Am I out of universal time? The spies answered, our master, and they trembled. The puja was on time. It was millions of times better than any puja ever done before. There was chanting and dancing of so many hymns. Yes, 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 said Indra, speak. And they all were, you know, Indra is very proud, you know, and if you give bad news to a proud king, ooh, in Europe you would lose your head when you would do this, you know. There's a slight problem. What is the problem? The puja was not directed towards you. To whom? To a rock. Who advised these fools? On the instigation of a blackish boy? Who stays in the house of the Brijvasis, they are now saying that Giriraj, the mountain, is a better devata than your majesty. They claim that he gives them water and grass for their cows to graze. And further, they have decided that from this day on, they will no longer worship you, Indra, but this mountain. Indra became red with anger. He shivered uncontrollably, not with love like we heard in Burijan Prabhu's lecture. He shivered with fury. And he hissed, look at these gopas, they are ahiras. Do you know what is ahira? It's a bad word. It means people of the forest who don't know anything. They don't even have a proper home. They are nomads. They roam in the forest. The extent of their pride is inconceivable for me. They have so little, yet their pride is so great. I am living here in Amaravati. We have apsaras. We have our
vimanas, our planes. We have wealth and we are not proud. But they have a few cows. They are so proud. And on the top of everything, this little boy, I have heard about him, he always talks nonsense and they take this serious. And then he did some Krishna aparadas, but because we are at the beginning of the katha, I just don't want to say these words which he said. He said in high Sanskrit things which Mother Saraswati put in his mouth, and you know, really he said offenses, but what he how it turned out by Mother Saraswati, because Saraswati couldn't control that he made an offense. Krishna does not bow down to anyone because there is no one for him to offer homage and argya. There's nothing more than Krishna. He is omnipotent. But the way he said it, you know, the way he wanted to say it is Krishna is too proud to bow down to anyone. You know, like that's really bad when you have someone who's too proud to bow down to anyone. He's considered to be an excrement in the Vedic culture. You know, the pride is not good. The Western ornamentation is not regarded very high here. And he said so many things, and then Indra said, I got enough of this. And he called these special powerful servants, these special ministers, come, 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 my people. And they came and they were trembling. What is? You order us. Well, why have you called us untimely? These were the servants who controlled the powerful Samvartaka clouds who were bound by iron chains to immovable posts because they were so powerful, these clouds. They had a personality which was bent on utter destruction. When the universe is destroyed, it is by the power of these clouds. There's first the fire which burns everything from down to up. And then comes this rain from this cloud, which is not even comparable to any tsunami of this world. It's just so absolutely ferocious and wild, and what devastation they wreak! Everything is destroyed. The servants who are controlling these clouds came. Why are you so upset? Why are you shaking? And Indra, he said, these people gave up my shelter and they took shelter in a stone boat to cross the ocean of material existence called Krishna. Just see how self-conceited Indra was. No, and the stone boat was, let me get this right. I want to really say this. By giving up my shelter, Indra said, this is from the Bhagavatam, and taking refuge in Krishna, these people have accepted a stone for a boat to cross the ocean of material existence. Just see, my dear devotees, because that's the main topic of tomorrow's katha, what pride can do to a person. Here is a person who is actually Krishna's devotee, who's overwhelmed by pride, so much so that he says, they have given up my shelter. And they have now accepted the advice of Krishna. It's as foolish as someone who tries to ride on a stone wishing to cross an ocean. It's so foolish. This is what happens when you drink from the cup of false pride. you become intoxicated and you see the world upside down. This pride must be given up first in order to enter into Braj Bhakti. And those who are knowers of Mana Shiksha know how Raghunath Das Goswami gives instructions to his mind and all the minds of all his devotees. First of all, he says, give up pride, my dear mind. Yeah? Because it intoxicates him. So that Indra, who was a devotee, could say, they've given up my shelter. This guy, Devata, was so self-conceited that he could think like this. He said, these human beings who insulted me are so arrogant. Cloud said, who are they? Where are they? What have they done? Indra said, first they respected me for many, many years. I gave them all what they have now. And now, in turn, they have disrespected and rejected me. He was so upset, you can't believe. And you will hear the psychology tomorrow, why he was so upset. He said that they gave all the food which was meant for me to the mountain and he ate everything. Go now. Enough words. Go. And you have only one mission. One mission. Destroy. All of Braj. So the clouds forgetting. They had heard something about Krishna, that he had killed Trinavata. Trinavata had come very close when he flew out in the outer space. They had heard how Krishna had disposed of Putana, and they were a little afraid. But Indra ordered them again, go and destroy the animals. First dig out that mountain and then break him. Then flood the land. You know, dig out means when so much water goes on the base of Giriraj, lifts him up and then break him. And then flood the land, kill the cows, and let that fool Nanda Maharaj see all of this before you kill him. Now, I will come personally with you. I want to see all this. I will be behind you, riding on my elephant. Don't be afraid, you weaklings. Then he ordered the 49 wind gods, the Maruts. He says, why are you waiting? We need you as well. Come. Blow hurricanes. And this is the army which came here to Braj. What happened then will be the subject of tomorrow's katha. You will have to, it is very dramatic. Shukadev Goswami has told the all we need to know, but inside his katha is all this, and the acharyas and the different scriptures have added all this. So tomorrow you will hear the most furious narration you have ever heard in your lifetime. And you will hear embedded in that the nature of false pride, which is discussed from spiritual psychology. And to make sure that the points stick, we will also use contemporary logical paradigms. But we will also hear, it's a good end, don't worry. Okay, please repeat.
Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Daine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Ya.
Hare Krishna. I have to cool down now. I try to depict Indra, but I feel very bad, you know, because so much offensive. And just consider, just take the thought with you. Indra also had his rain clouds not even put a drop on Mathura, where Kamsa resided. Not a drop fell on Kamsa's turban. It all went against Krishna. This is flabbergasting. But Krishna, you will see how he forgives Indra. I have never heard something like this before. You will hear the mind of God. But anyways, I should end here. Hare Krishna. You please eat your prasadam. Hare Krishna.